Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Padonis, and tonight we are going to preview round 11 off a tough Magic round where we had two best bets. They were both second half best bets. They were on favourites. One was up 20 at halftime, which you honestly don't mind as a big favourite. Often they crush an opponent. That didn't happen. Souths let in the final 24 points. And then the next favourite we were on Sunday, the Sharks, they were down 20 at halftime. You also don't mind that at all. In fact, that's ideal. We had a Sharks team that was minus 12 pregame, effectively sitting with them plus 14 and a half live. And they just had to be within 14 at the final score. They were not. They did cut it to 10, but they let in the final 10 of the game. So I sum it up like this. Maybe they weren't the best bets we could have made. On reflection, we were in outstanding position in both those games live, covering those second half lines. We got frustrating finishes, but that's nothing new for us this season. We at least won the try scorer extravaganza bet on Magic Round, which was a custom creation we unveiled on the special Magic Round preview. Pod, we're proud of that, and it was a subject of plenty of conversation over the weekend, and we even spent about 20 minutes devoted to that. In the recap, we talked about custom markets in general, how you price them up, the maths. It was all covered in Monday's recap, and I even put an additional post up today because Dabble are letting people have a crack at that market again. People liked it so much, it's paying $5, but I put a discussion in the group. So with all that being said, we want to talk about round 11. We're going to start with our four best bets, and the first one is Broncos minus 5.5 in Newcastle on Thursday night. $1.82 on Dabble. Copy that right now from at Jacob Wynn. Also same price on Bet365. Padonis, this is your team. We were both surprised to see the line so low.
Yeah, it was actually, Jacob. And the Broncos have the luxury of sticking with the same 17 once again. They're starting to gel, and there's a genuine belief in this team that they can do something this year and play finals footy and maybe beyond. They've been up in class the past few weeks. They've just beaten the Sharks, Souths, and Manly. And now the challenge for the Broncos as a team is to repeat that against a low Newcastle team. I think that they can do that, and we are getting a cheaper line. And partly the reason of that is because of the Knights' result last week. We touched on in the recap, we don't think they played that strongly. And my opinion is, had they versed anyone else apart from the Bulldogs, then they probably would have lost the game outright. And then this line definitely wouldn't be where it is. The line's sitting around 6.5, consensus around the market, so we found a great play at 5.5. Milford does return for the first game of the season, but at this point of his career, he's more of a liability than he is providing any sort of benefit to the team. I don't see any uplift, and his fitness is a concern, and I do query that. And at the moment, I just want to ride the form of Reynolds and these young outside backs, and I think they can do the job here in Newcastle.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to get from Milford, but first game in the team, he's not going to have the combinations. But what I do know is that Brisbane's getting better each week. And thought this was a low line to lay and would only go one direction because I feel like this would be a public side, but I think this line could have further to move. So don't mind being on it as long as we're getting under that key number 6. Feel Brisbane is a strong side that we've talked about betting on sides that have been downtrodden in past years and are suddenly finding success. They don't take it for granted. They stay hungry and everyone wants to be in the team and playing with energy. And that's a question mark for the next side, which is why we're going to bet against them. Our next best bet is Friday night in the Tigers-Bulldogs game. We're going to take the Bulldogs team total under 17.5 at $1.88 on Top Sport. Next best price will be under 16.5, $1.87, Ladbrokes and Neds. Your bet, the way to bet this game was actually unders, Padonis. So I'll get you to add to my handicap here. I just felt like you got to play the Tigers, and the reasons are just the disruption that the Bulldogs have undergone in the last few days. It's not just the coach. In fact, swapping one coach in for another sometimes has a positive effect, but it's more the team has several cases of the flu. They've had missed training sessions. We don't know who's playing. So you bet against a team where several players are under a cloud. You know, there's a possibility an Adokar or a Burton's not even playing in this game, and then you're going to feel even better about this. And the Dogs' attack has been so bad, and here or there, you can say the other team defended well, but when it's repeatedly bad and they're not even completing sets or valuing the footy, I don't feel like they're going to turn that around in a week. So I wanted to be on the Tigers. They're at home in Leichhardt. They've got much more stability. If we bash the Tigers, minus 3.5, the issue you've got is they do still miss Dane Laurie. Brooks is out as well. The Tigers are still limited. Maybe they can't blow anybody away. And maybe the Dogs do lift their effort for the new coach. All those concerns to me, only affect the Tigers scoring. That's why I think the best way and best angle at this play is dogs under. Anything to add?
Yeah, the one thing that I'll add to that is that I had the same points as you. I think the disruption to the Bulldogs this week is a negative, even though they did lose a coach. And historically, you might see some form of bounce back. But the Tigers are missing the 1, 6, and 9 from their best possible spine. So we don't need them to score points, and that's the beauty of this bet. I did lean unders in the first half because I think both attacks will struggle. We've outlined the reasons why the Dogs will struggle. And there's also the potential that because a lot of these senior players and key players that Barrett did sign, that did have a big connection with him, there is a chance that there's an outside chance that they do no-show. And then if they do come out flat, then this bet's a home run. So that's why we like to take the Bulldogs for the reasons we mentioned.
Next one is Gulp. Warriors +6 mechanical bet here, and they are playing St. George. And to achieve their mechanical +6, you're going to put 57% of a regular stake on a +6.5, which is $1.75 in the 3-6-5 alternate line. And then the remaining 43% you would have on the +4.5, which is $1.90 on Ladbrokes and Neds. And that works out to $1.82 if we win. So you're costing 8 cents if you just played the 4.5, but you'll save yourself a loss if New Zealand lose by the key number of 6, which I think is worth it. I'll put my hand up. It's my fault our best bet lost against New Zealand last week because I proclaimed on the pod that the Warriors curse may be over. Clearly it was not, but here we are, another Warriors game, another best bet. And simply put, Tohu Harris is back now and starting for the Warriors. Aitken's back. Lusick has come in. It's his second game. And simply across the park, I think the Warriors are every bit as good as St. George. St. George is a side that doesn't scare me. They've got yet another change in a key position, fullback this week. And even when the Dragons do win, it's generally a grind. We just had to take New Zealand catching a converted try.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the Warriors will take a lot of confidence out of the second half comeback potential that they showed last week. And I can't find many reasons why the gap between the two sides should be this large. So Warriors with the points is a great play for us.
And fourth best bet, Cowboys play the Storm, and we are basically taking either team 1-12. But in fact, as you'll see on the screen, it's slightly better than that. You get better price and slightly better outcome with a same game multi on Sportsbet. And what you do is you plug in Cowboys +12.5 in the market +12.5, and you plug in Storm +13.5 in the pick your own line. You get $1.80. Storm can win 1-12. Cowboys can win 1-13. The logic being that if you like the Cowboys, which we actually do, and you could take +6.5, it's a pretty decent line, $1.90 on Sportsbet. But our way, you're doubling that line essentially, and all you're doing is adding the risk that the Storm loses by 14 or more. I don't see that happening, a Melbourne side losing by double digits 2 weeks in a row. As for why we like the Cowboys to keep it close, which is what the crux of this bet is, it was your bet even more than mine, Padonis. So please share the key reasons.
I never thought I'd be saying this at the start of the season, given all the supposed hate for the Cowboys. But as we've always been saying, we play numbers, not teams. And I do think the Cowboys are the right side in this one. And I think they'll give the Storm all that they can handle. We did criticize some of their signings early on, but full respect to Townsend and Dearden. And the story of their season has been these young kids playing beyond their years, guys like Cotter, Tulagi, and Nanai. And there's also some origin talk around these players. So similar to the Broncos, I just want to ride the momentum that these players and these teams have. I am wary betting it against the Storm, but that's the beauty of this market. We found that we just need them to stay within 1-12 if they do lose the game. But in saying that, the Storm are a great chance themselves to win outright. But I think the game's going to be close. Townsville as well hasn't had a side with this much confidence in quite a while. So the stadium's going to be rocking and the players will be up for this game. And we think the Cowboys can keep it close and it can be 1-12 for either side.
Our first play where we're actually on the Cowboys all season. So we're late to the party, but it's a matter of riding a wave, which we are with a couple of the Queensland sides. And we've got 8 games to preview, of course, and we're going to go in depth in every game for round 11. But let's hear how the markets are shaping up first of all. Now, sponsored segment with Tristan from Top Sport.
G'day, Tripod family. We had the excitement of Magic Round last week, and it proved a couple of difficulties with pricing up those markets with the wet weather around, and that kept all the totals low. And I think 6 out of the 8 games might have gone overs. So The totals have pushed up a little bit again, but there is still a little bit of weather around. So they're all, a lot of them hovering around that 40 point mark. So there's been some tricky games to price in the lead up. So one of them is the Bronx against the Knights, where the Knights have got a few players back on deck. The Broncos have obviously found a bit of form in recent times and had some really strong wins. So they are instilled at the 6.5 favourite, but has moved a little bit towards the Knights. Obviously, Anthony Milford having his first game back in all likelihood against his former side. So that's created some uncertainty around the market as well. And then the game that's been the most difficult to price by a long way is the Tigers against the Bulldogs. We know that Barrett has been moved on, and generally market support comes for the side with a new coach in that instance. But then there's been four players out with the flu or left from training. So we've got to monitor the team list to see what happens there, because there could easily be some movement one way or the other based on if anyone's officially ruled in or ruled out or how they recover. So 2.5 that line, that's moved from pick-up. So we'll be monitoring team lists there. And then the other fascinating game is the Panthers against the Roosters, where the Panthers are 9.5 point favourites. Now that game opened at 10.5. It was 12.5 for a short little window, but 9.5 now. There's been a good push for the Roosters at the plus. They had a strong win there against the Eels, but we know how good Penrith are too. So that's going to be a fascinating game, a rematch from the 0-3 final. So plenty of punters will be getting stuck in there. Back to normal this weekend. We're back to our normal round. There'll be plenty of the player performance markets. So good luck to everyone having a punt over the weekend and gamble responsibly.
Knights Broncos, touched on before, Brisbane minus 5.5, 6.5 in some places in Newcastle. So Milf starting at 6, as we said, for Tex Hoy. Frizzell is back. He's been injured and sick. Gagai and Clifford are in the reserves. They could add in, and they could be added in, and we have to fact that as well. Brisbane unchanged and searching for their fifth straight win this season. And I give you credit, Podonis, because Brisbane lost 4 in a row from rounds 3 to 6, and then they beat Canterbury by 20. And Canterbury had, you know, COVID outs and stuff, so you didn't think that meant a lot. But you spoke about how Brisbane could take a lot of confidence out of that. They did. They put on, I think, 30-odd in the 30s in that game, and they haven't looked back, putting on some big scores against some really respectable teams. Now, personnel-wise, I could argue no team is more improved in the last couple of weeks than the Knights with the troops they get back. And I mentioned Milford. Isn't it funny how he's playing against his old side here? But I'll carry on with the handicap. Usually I throw to you, Podonis. The reason I can't play Newcastle is piggybacking what you said. I was just so unimpressed by their attack last week. Anybody else would have beaten the Dogs 20+. And as for their defense, I'm not even going to give them credit for that because of how impotent the Dogs were in attack. So let's play the side that's flying. That's Brisbane. You know, their opponents were not at their best. Turbo wasn't right. If we talk about Manly last week, the Rabbitohs were really poor that night. Sharks missing Finucane. But I mean, the Brisbane got some results without Haas and without Capewell as well. And goes back to that 2 or 3 years of pain that they've been suffering. And now they feel like they're actually heading somewhere they want to be. I don't think anybody's going to lose focus on this road trip. So it feels a bit square, but I will be supporting and backing Brisbane this week.
Yeah, for sure. And even though we can say that there was maybe some underlying issues to the other teams that helped their wins, they weren't just scraping by these teams. So the one counter to that is that they have been putting some points on and they've been winning by some big margins. So that does give me the confidence that this side are on the right track. And if there's one knock on Brisbane, it would be emotionally trying to stay up for a game like this, given that they've just come off three big games against some high-profile teams and coming off a magic round performance. But I have enough faith in the guys and Kevin Walters that they will stick to it, given the reasons you said. And they have been at the bottom of the table for the last few years. And there's a real sense of coming of age with this team. And that's something that's been brewing for a while. And credit to Seabold, because some of these players were in his system when they were turning 20, and now here they are, and they're knocking on the door of the top eight, and they've got all the confidence in the world.
Credit to Seabold. Geez, you don't think he was holding them back. And that's a positive way to spin it. Let's move to Friday. Tigers hosting the Dogs. Touched on this game as well. Best bet in at 2 with the Dogs team total under 17.5 on Toppy. But the line is moving. It's 4.5 now and 365, still 3.5 most bookies with the Tigers. And as I said earlier today, it was Pick'em, and I would have loved to tip the Tigers at Pick'em. Unfortunately, it's not the case anymore, but we're still going to get at the Tigers in that format. The home side will not have Luke Brooks, as I said. Hammy, magic round. Kapoa is in the centres, which moves Garner back to the second row. Liddell Little starts at hooker, I should say, for Simkin. And there's a possibility that Brent Naden could be playing in this game, but it could be for West. Now, on the dog side of things, Avarillo's back in the centres. Topine is onto the bench for Waddell. But note the flu, which we mentioned at the top. Tristan mentioned it again. Like, you don't actually know for sure. And Gus has made a lot of comments this week. And one was that the team could have numerous changes from what had to be named on Tuesday when they still hadn't even all trained at the facility together. So subject to changes, but I think that's a free roll for us. Imagine if someone like Burton, you know, isn't playing on Friday. Before I get your thoughts on this game, Podonis, we have a special cameo who's going to share his bet of the round.
What's up, guys? It's Dane here from Clarkie's Rugby League column, and I'm here for the guest tipper this week on the Tripod podcast. Obviously, I had to get dressed up for the occasion. This week, I'm going with the Tigers, guys. Now, I suspect they will drop in price from the time this is out on the episode, but at the time of me recording, they're at $1.90, and they're up against the Bulldogs at Leichhardt Oval. I think the Tigers always play better at Leichhardt. I know teams typically do recover very well and put in that extra performance the week after their coach gets sacked. But in this instance, the Bulldogs have had the flu, go through their club. So they actually haven't trained too much this week. We're now hearing reports Matt Burton, Luke Thompson and Josh Adokar are under an injury cloud. I've gone big on the Tigers myself, guys. I'm extremely confident on this tip, and I don't usually give out too many tips for good reason. But hopefully you guys get on, up the mighty Tigers, and hopefully we get up. Cheers, guys.
So follow Clarkie's Rugby League column on Facebook, on Instagram. Such a good way to keep abreast of all the latest happenings around the league. I don't know how Clarkie stays on top of it all and comes up with high-quality graphics, far higher quality than you ever see the pod create. And to give you the backstory, Clarkie messaged me today and said, I want to smash the Tigers at $1.90. Like, what am I missing? And I had to be honest. I said, yeah, after I looked at the game myself, you're not missing anything. I think you should smash. No, I don't think it's going to be that price for too much longer. And I knew even at the time we would record, it wouldn't be those odds. And we're seeing that line is trickling already, and it may still have further to go. You know, the extra intrigue around the game, the Barrett saga. This isn't the forum to really go into, you know, what happened or why it happened, but we want to assess how it will affect the results moving forward. And, you know, I will say, watching the Dogs every minute, every game, they upset the Roosters 3 weeks ago, but they were shockingly bad in the last 2 weeks. And there's just no doubt that would build enormous pressure on a coach. And it's not to say it's all him. I really do sympathize with these coaches, because sometimes I feel like a tipster is a bit like a coach. Like, we're not the ones out on the field dropping the ball, missing tackles. But if the results of our decisions play out really poorly, we feel the pressure. So I can relate to feeling a lot of pressure for poor results. I can only imagine what it's like in the real world, the pressure cooker of an NRL coach, right? So did he jump? Was he pushed? Not sure. I'm sure more information will come out. Hopefully he's doing okay, right? Mick Potter's been announced today as going to be the interim coach. We do observe that bump we're all familiar with in professional sports. New coach comes in, the performance lifts because everyone wants to prove himself to the new coach, I think, and secure their spot again. But do you upgrade or downgrade the Dogs based on what's happened this week? I think you and I agree overall, it's been a bad week at Belmore.
It's been a bad week, and yeah, and you touched on it at the top there, but what can we say that hasn't been said by the media all week? There's not much. And the take that I had on all the Barrett saga for me is that by sacking him, or Barrett departing, that's essentially acknowledging that their season is lost and their season's over at this point, and they're planning for next year and beyond. And Ball reports the players did have a good connection with Barrett, especially the key guys that he signed. So I do worry about their headspace and how focused they will be given all the distractions of the week. I was sent home from training on Monday and Tuesday, aside from all the flu that's happening. And Mick Potter's announced, as he said, and funnily enough, he was the former manager of the Tigers. So that's a nice bit of irony there as well. But what's their preparation look like for this game? And I do see it being a heavy focus on ball control and discipline and not much play calling. So from that point of view, we do like the under 17.5 as a team total. And yeah, for all the reasons we said above, the Tigers are the side, but the beauty is that because they are missing some key members from their spine, we don't need to rely on them scoring points.
That's right. So even if it's an ugly game, and you don't get any uglier than the Bulldogs' last matchup, which kicked off Magic Round, unfortunately, if it's anything like that, we're sitting pretty with that that under. And we might even have to try and figure out a way to work that into the mixed matchup. Spoiler alert. But later Friday night should be a better game. Eels host the Seagulls. Seagulls 7.5-point underdogs. Niokoro returns from injury for the Eels. Turbo named at fullback, but there are concerns. You'd be very concerned if you watched Manly last week. Josh Schuster is back on the bench, and that should be a boost. The Parramatta Eels, bit of an enigma in 2022. They've beaten Melbourne in Melbourne. They've beaten Penrith in Penrith. They currently sit sixth on the ladder. So what do you make of them so far this year, Podonis, and specifically this week? They come up against a Seagulls side that some people picked for the premiership, and they actually sit outside the top eight after 10 rounds. So actually we've got two teams that are a lot lower on the ladder than you would have expected.
I think generally the market expected Parramatta to be where they were. We were a little bit higher on them than most. And their performances against the big teams have proven that they can match it at the business end of the year. But similar to last year, they're finding some issues with that consistency and making sure that they're up for every game. And I mentioned on the recap that although Parramatta did lose last week, I still feel that it was a back and forth game between two great sides and they just fell short. So I don't take anything away from what Parra did. And I'm sure Parra are going to come into this and remember last year's two-game series where with Manly winning both of those by a combined score of 84 points to 16. So that's fresh in Parra's mind. So big factor for me, as you touched on, is the fitness of Turbo. So Eels have the edge to me in every other area. And if Turbo's not even close to being 80% or better, then I only see the Eels covering, so I could only lean them. But my one hesitation would be that Manly coming off such an embarrassing performance that you do know their defense will be a lot tighter than what it was against Brisbane. And there's some rain around on Friday night, which will make points a bit more valuable.
I agree with you. Could only lean to Parramatta. So their biggest issue is the reason they've lost four games this year. I'd say one is just a tough draw. I mentioned those really tough games they've had this year, which they won. But like they also played the Sharks that are a good side, and they got Cronulla on the reopening of Shark Park. And then they played the Roosters and the Cowboys at neutral venues, and those are the other sides that are in the top four. So it's been a tough draw. And then Parra's dealt with a lot of injuries to outside backs, which has hurt some of their execution, and it has hurt their defense at times. But what Parramatta's got going for them is right now they're full strength in the forwards and their spine. And they've actually got a little bit more stability building in the backs, and they come home to CommBank Stadium. There's no way I'm betting against Parramatta this week. And I had the same point. I really remember really clearly the most recent encounter where Manly smashed Parramatta by 50. And that was when Manly was flying at the end of last year and Parramatta was in a bit of a tailspin, which they ultimately did correct just before the finals. But there was a period of time where Parramatta were getting bullied by sides. And I think Parramatta will try and return the favour on Manly this week. But do you want to bet against the Manly side that's off like their worst possible performance and they've got a longer prep? It could actually be a decent spot for Manly, as you suggested. And the key unknown is Turbo's health. It'd be stupid to play him if he's under, you know, 90%, which he clearly was last week. But if he does play, then you'd have to trust that he could be his deadly self. So it's just enough to keep us wary of the Manly Seagulls. Saturday, we've got a best bet on the Warriors as they play the Dragons at Netstrata Jubilee, and they are 4.5-point underdogs. We're taking the mechanical plus six. These two sides suffered the most narrow defeats of Magic Round, and the Dragons add another new fullback. It's Ramsey this time at the back. Sloan dropped again. He did butcher a try earlier in the game where maybe they get that one. It doesn't go to Golden Point. Who knows? Another observation from Magic Round was how well Tohu Harris played for the Warriors when he came on. And now he's in the starting side for New Zealand. And Aitken was a late withdrawal, but he's back from concussion symptoms. Podonis, any further factors for this game?
Yeah, so you touched on the change there to the Dragon spine. And Griffin doesn't have any faith in Tyrell Sloan at the moment. And I think that's shown in his recent performances. And he did look low on confidence last week. And I think that's a byproduct of what's been happening over the past 6 to 8 weeks there at the Dragons. And changing their spine with Ramsey at fullback and Mbai at hooker, long-term, I do see that as positive improvement to what they've had currently. But will that translate to them hitting the ground running this week? I'd say no, considering that Ramsey is more of a support and ball runner, whereas Mbai was more of a link player. So there's quite a difference in what those two players' outputs are. And the Warriors do get some reinforcements back, as you touched on. And the other one we mentioned that we haven't mentioned yet is Harris Tavita's named on the extended bench. And if you believe some of the reports going around, he's about a 50-50 chance at the moment. So if he plays, I'll feel even more confident. And that only helps in our favor because I can only see the line coming down if he does get named. And yeah, as we touched on, the Warriors should play a lot better than what they did last week in the first half, especially, and take a lot of confidence into the game. And I couldn't split the sides.
And that's why I considered, like, do you play New Zealand first half, which is exactly what we did, actually, when these sides met. They met in round one, and I'll touch on that as well. And then we lost that, and the Dragons did win the game. But I also want to explain, we're not on New Zealand just because they scored the final 24 against Souths. I was mostly just disappointed in South Sydney switching off. And I always feel points are easier to come by when you're down big and you're forced to throw it around. It's more than that. But New Zealand are a side that, for me, is a natural candidate for some mid-season improvement. You didn't have Johnson for a few games. Azzi only joined the club a few weeks ago. As I said, Lusick very recently. Harris back now. Aitken back this week. They've had some tough opponents too. Like Melbourne, in Melbourne on Anzac Day, is a bloody tough opponent. And it was actually a tight game for 50 minutes. People forget. And they did hand the Storm a couple of tries on a silver platter. And then they had to play the Sharks in Cronulla. We talked all about that game, but we were on the Sharks. So therefore, we thought it was a great spot for Cronulla. And then when the Warriors played the Rabbitohs, we were on the Rabbitohs. We thought it was a great spot for them. These were good sides coming off a loss. So we thought Warriors would have a hard time in recent weeks, and they have. So therefore, we haven't downgraded New Zealand too badly. Whereas the Dragons have had like that more stability. But in saying that, they still have changed their spine from time to time. I just think they're a side that wins games in arm wrestles and on the back of Ben Hunt. And that's fine. If they're a big underdog and they're catching double digits and they're playing someone like the Roosters, if they get an arm wrestle, you feel good. But when they're a favorite, it's a different story. And you look at last week was an arm wrestle against the Titans, but they didn't cover the line. In fact, Dragons have four wins this season. They've won three of them by a converted try or less. The only big win the Dragons have had all season was by 12 against these New Zealand Warriors in round one. Let's hope the Warriors return the favor. That game cost us the best bet, as many Warriors games have cost us this season. But here we are again. We just can't help ourselves. We think that there's value. And this side, this time it's with the men from across the ditch. And in fact, not only is it going to be our best bet, it's going to tie into the mixed matchup, which is simply going to be New Zealand Warriors to outscore Canterbury Bulldogs in round 11, paying $2.15. Have a max stake of $200 on that on Top Sport. User code Tripod if you want to join. Top Sport already made the case why we don't think the Dogs will score many points on Friday. Just made the case for New Zealand as the best bet, and they do have a little bit more attacking threat. And if Harris Tavita comes in, even better. If you want to play this market, I would suggest playing it tonight. The reason is because, look, a bunch of these guys clearly have the flu for the Dogs. No one's going to be ruled out of a Friday game on a Wednesday because they have the flu, because you don't know like how they're going to recover. But could a couple of players be ruled out by game time? Yes, they could. And if a couple of key players are ruled out for the Bulldogs, their total's going to drop significantly and the market could just get pulled. So it's a fair bet right now with the uncertainty, but it's not going to be a fair bet. It could be significantly in our favor if some key Bulldogs are withdrawn. I mean, there's always a risk, like a Warriors player could be withdrawn. It could happen with any team, but you feel like it's heightened given what we know about the circumstances for the Bulldogs this week. So a simple one, taking a couple of underdogs, one to outscore the other, but more favourable conditions, I think, for New Zealand, who do play a day game versus the Dogs at night. Cowboys Storm is one of the best games of the round, it looks like. At QCB and the Storm are -5.5 point favourites. So they did mention you can get a 6.5 on Sportsbet if you do like the Cowboys, which we pretty much do. Their winners are 5 straight, and they've named an unchanged 1-17. Melbourne should get back Jerome Hughes. He's named to return from a calf injury. I still wouldn't be certain, considering they said there was complications with his injury last week and he didn't train at all. And then Asafa Solomona was a casualty of Magic Round, so Brandon Smith is going to start at prop. We haven't backed the Cowboys once this season. As I said before, they impress more and more every week. Now, yes, the market does adjust, but you felt like you wanted to be on them, that this was the right week to play them, but honest.
Yeah, I felt this was the right week. And although the market has adjusted, I don't feel it's adjusted enough for the level that they're playing at. And I really liked the way in particular that stood out to me was the way that Payton and a few of the players in the press conference and just after the game last week talked about this fixture and how important it was for them. So I did feel that they were in a look-ahead spot last week and they're still putting in a great performance against the Tigers. So it shows where the side's at the moment. And they talked about how the stadium's going to be buzzing and a full stadium. So I do upgrade their home field more than would in past years, given that the buzz in Townsville hasn't been this great since the Thurston era when they had that premiership run. So that's another key point I've made. And we touched on it at the top that a lot of these signings that were criticised, and you'd say Townsend, he was one of those, they're playing at a high level this year. And the young kids are playing beyond their years. And I think with Pappenhausen still missing, it does restrict what the Storm can do. And one thing that's impressed me from the Cowboys so far is their line speed in defence. They've really worked on their fitness in the offseason and it's really showing. So I think Storm are going to struggle to get through their ruck in large periods. And with Big Nelson out, and that's another key out there, I think it weakens their forward rotation. And the Cows have a more mobile and energetic pack, and I think they can match up quite well. And I do think they have a stronger bench than Melbourne, given that Brendan Smith has to play in prop and weakens what their rotation is. And it's always dangerous betting against the Storm. And I am wary of them, especially off a loss. And they have stayed in Queensland this week from all the reports. But I think it's just an easy handicap to say that the Storm will bounce back and cover the line here. Yes, they can win, but the Cows deserve respect and they're going to give Storm everything they can handle. And Storm have shown some vulnerabilities. So the beauty of this bet, as we touched on, is that we can create a mechanical bet where we don't have to take the 5.5 and it's 6.5 on sports bet. So that's a great line that I'd still play. And this is the bet that I'd normally look for if I like an underdog up to 8.5 points on a handicap spread. So to get it at $1.80 odds when the line is this low, we just have to play it.
Yeah, I agree. And I started with the easy handicap, which is you don't bet against the Storm off a loss. That's sort of my default. And they've stayed in Queensland and they were comprehensively beaten last week. But if you watch the game against Penrith, they would have squeezed anybody to death, especially the start they got. They got the jump and they squeezed the life out of the Storm. So you can't take much away from the Storm. Could the Storm have done better? Certainly. They definitely will this week, whether or not they have Hughes, which you have to assume he's in based on the lineup, but it's not a certainty. And if you play the Storm now thinking I'll lay the 5.5, you do risk that Hughes could be out another week because it makes sense they'd want to keep the Cowboys guessing. But on the other hand, we do respect the Cowboys. I think they're going to be bang up for this. They will know that this is going to be a true test of their form. I think the crowd, you're spot on. They will be amped and I really expect a quality game. And this is a great way to play that in the sports bet same game multi-market. Could be another great game Saturday night as well. At the SCG, the Roosters host the Panthers. Panthers 9.5 point favorites. Radley is out for the Roosters. Lindsay Collins is back in and Penrith just had a charmed run with health. They are unchanged again. And I think this game highlights why the win was so important for the Roosters last week because they just knew they had to win the winnable games. And yeah, every game is winnable, but when you watch Penrith, they actually make some games unwinnable for their opponent, like they did against Melbourne last week. And now no Radley. Like, I'm not saying Roosters have no chance, but this Penrith side, they've had incredible health. It's coincided with their outstanding form, apart from one blip, of course. And I just feel like this Panthers side, they're just enjoying life. They're enjoying destroying the competition. They all want to lock in their rep jerseys. They all want to bank the wins before the rep season, which will give them the luxury to, you know, rest or extend recovery periods for stars on the back end. So I just would not take the Panthers on at all, was kind of my position. And as for the Roosters, I still got a lot of respect for them and their attack is starting to click and their defense is pretty solid, but it's just going to be have to be at its very best to give them any chance if they want to follow that Parramatta blueprint. So ultimately, I've jumped in ahead of you and shared my handicap. Podonis, if I had to play it, I'd actually lean Penrith. Which way did you lean?
Yeah, so if I had to play it, I would lean with the Roosters only because the lines, I think, is a touch inflated. But for all the reasons you touched on there, when I want to bet against Penrith, I need all the reasons and all the stars to line up for the other team. And I just don't get that here with the Roosters. So I think a big edge is missing Radley. And on top of that, last week when Sam Verrills was ruled out. So that's two of their key players in the middle of the field there, spreading the play. And I do think they'll struggle to move the ball fast enough to get to the Panthers' edge. And the Roosters have spoken about how hard their upcoming schedule is. So they might not be up for each game of these games. They might pick and choose their spots, especially with Origin around the corner. And last week is a key example of that. They beat Parramatta, and this might be one where they're happy to let go, knowing they've got the Sharks next week, for example. So that's one risk that I would have if I do take the Roosters with the start. I've got that element of risk, that factor there, because the Panthers are flying at the moment. But I do respect them enough that I can't bet against them when the line's a little bit higher.
So we'll move on. Sunday, Rabbitohs, Raiders in Dubbo, and the Raiders are 5.5-point underdogs. Two sides that were involved in costing us best bets last week. Host was injured at the very beginning, which didn't help the Rabbitohs either. He's out this week. He's got major shoulder issues. Whiten returns from suspension, which is a big boost for the Raiders. They also got a start from Wolford last week at 9, and he's going to retain that jersey. This is actually the third regional game for the Raiders, and they haven't had any joy yet. They did run into a strong Manly side and Melbourne. Out in the country, and they're going to go back out there again this week. How do you think they'll fare?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I can't see the Raiders winning this game, and I do still have faith in South despite a poor run of results. And even though this is on a neutral venue, as you touched on in double, I do think the line's a bit short. I made it 6.5 despite Whiten returning, and I did think South played a lot better than what the final scoreline did show against the Warriors. And Dimitri had touched on in the press conference, they had a few guys that missed training early in the week with the flu. So there are some excuses for how their ruck performed late in that game. And the Raiders, to me, weren't that impressive despite beating the Sharks there. And I can make a case that 3 of their 5 tries were pretty lucky. Not that we want to use last week's result to look ahead, but I do think it's played into the line a bit. And 2 weeks ago when Raiders played the Bulldogs, the Dogs were a pick'em down in Canberra. And I know Whiten was missing for that game. But if South would play the Bulldogs this week, the line would be 10.5. So is Whiten really worth 6 points to the spread if you look at it from that point of view? I don't agree. But you didn't see it the same way and didn't have the same confidence in South.
Well, I mean, if the Raiders were playing the Bulldogs this week, it's not going to be pick'em, is it? Like the Raiders, if they're at home to the Bulldogs this week, they probably would be 7.5. So clearly you've got to upgrade the Raiders and downgrade the Bulldogs, but we've touched on that. On Souths, I can see your point of view. Like, they're still searching for that complete display, and last week could have been it, but then they switched off the final 25, of course. We've seen the flashes, but we've seen their struggles. And, of course, Luttrell out, we felt, well, Taft did so well in the final series, you can cover that. You can't really totally cover Cam Murray out as well now. They're sitting 8th. There's some decent sides beneath them, like Manly. Like, they can't muck around and they don't have a big margin for error now. They need to win the winnable games, which is this one, and they need to avoid any more major injuries or they really will be in trouble, South Sydney, the grand finalists from last year. So I agree South Sydney should be favoured, but going as fast as say you can't see them losing, I'm not with you. I actually lean the other direction, which is why you sent me your notes that you would be looking at playing Souths, and I couldn't back you up there, because I think the Raiders showed that they've turned a corner this season and they showed a heap of resolve, and their best player was out the last 2 weeks and they won both those games, and now he's back. That's got to be a huge boost. So I did feel like if you play against Souths, that's probably the week where Souths show their best game in 2 months. We're not going to be doing that because we're kind of on either sides of the ledger anyway, but that's why I actually favoured Canberra at that line, a neutral venue. Just not sure they are that much further, that far away from a South side that's missing a couple of their best players. Last game of the round, Titans play the Sharks, and the Sharks are 6.5-point favourites on the Gold Coast. The Titans are unchanged after a gutsy Golden Point win, which was much needed as well. And the Sharkies have changed up, so they've abandoned the Nicho Hynes to fullback. They're bringing Lachlan Miller. This is a guy who has represented Australia at the Olympics in rugby sevens, and they say he's got some serious X factor, as does the Titans, number one, which we talked about in the recap. But this move allows Hynes back to return in the halves with Moylan. Finucane is out, and Wade Graham's going to get the start. Let you lead us off your key points for this match.
Yeah, I think Fitzgibbon was was listening to the pod on the recap on Monday night, because that's one of the things that you said, that you didn't like Hines in fullback, and straight away the team list came out on Tuesday and he's back into the seven jersey. So I do think the Sharks are going to be a lot better with the ball than they were last week. And I think it'll be a great contest in the middle of the field, even though Fifita's still out. It's a big blow that they lost Finucane again, and he can't just seem to stay on the field this year for a variety of reasons. On top of the concussion he got, I think he's out for 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury, which hurts their side a bit. The Gold Coast had a great win last week against all that adversity when they should have lost the game, and I think that that will give them a shot of confidence to really go forward, and I was really impressed with how sharp Campbell looked in his first game back, so he'll be even better in his second go around. And ultimately, I think I can make a case for both sides. And I had the line at 7.5. So I couldn't find enough of an edge on either side to make a firm play.
Now, this will only benefit viewers, but I'll do an impersonation. You tell me who this is. Any guesses?
No, I'm stumped.
That's Craig Fitzgibbon. And I'm the last person that should make fun of how anyone looks, but I can't help but notice whenever he talks, it's like he's really gritting his teeth. He's an intense character. I really respect him, and that's why we've been on the Sharks the last couple of weeks. And he is the kind of guy, I think, when he grits those teeth and stares, that piercing stare at you, that you would run through a brick wall for him, and you'd be afraid to let him down. He's got that kind of ogre, stoic look about it. And the way my hair's going, it'll match Fitzgibbon in not too long now. But I do still like his team again this week, and they've been pretty patchy the last 3 weeks. Obviously, they were excellent that the game against New Zealand. It's not their fault. They suffered all the players getting sent to the sin bin and sent off. But prior to that, lost to Brisbane. Last week, lost to the Raiders. I do think the biggest factor in the Sharks' loss last week was they were stifled by the Raiders' defense, which I thought was really good, whereas St. George, I feel, didn't capitalize on having control of the game against the Titans and sort of let the Gold Coast pinch the win. So I don't downgrade Cronulla too much, whereas I didn't really upgrade the Titans for winning, but I do think they'll get a bit of confidence out of that win. Let's not forget the Titans still don't have Fifita, and I know it's not completely a bad thing, but you'd still rather have him. For me, I look at this game and I think, well, the Eels were -6.5 against the Gold Coast earlier this season in the Gold Coast. And I feel like the Sharks and the Eels are pretty comparable teams. The Sharks have probably climbed up a little bit the last month or two compared to like what Parramatta was in the first month of the season. And if anything, the Titans are probably slightly worse than what we thought they were around round four. We thought they were a fringe top eight side. Now they are more of a bottom eight side and they don't have their best player. So therefore, I could probably make a case that the Sharks are the right side in this. But at home, over a converted try, I'm not certain. I think Sharks will bounce back. I think you leaned the same way. But we didn't, just didn't quite get there for a best bet. But you can still have fun on this game with the jersey comp. Comment below. Remember, not in the live chat. If you haven't been watching this live, go to the actual video comments. Comment who you think is going to score and the minute for the tiebreaker. And that will do it, guys. That's our breakdowns of round 11. Please share your thoughts as well. Catch all the content across Facebook page, Instagram. Our group is the number one place on Dabble in the live chat there, as well as being able to follow any plays we release throughout the round. Probably a multi from Podonis Friday, I'd say. Could be Thursday, yep. if we want to get the Broncos involved in it, and I'll do a multi as well on Friday. Four best bets with us. That could be the most we've had in a round so far this season. So, there we go. Like all four. Good luck if you're jumping on them. Always do so responsibly. And leggo.